This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A little New Hampshire talk. We'll talk about Kamala Harris, DEI. There is so much to tackle tonight on I'm Right. I have a thing that it's been bothering me. There's something that's been bothering me. We have a huge show coming up tonight. You know, we're going to talk a little bit about New Hampshire. We'll get to Sean Spicer in a minute and Dome and whatnot. But I actually want to focus on New Hampshire here really quickly. Something happened last night. It'll be forgotten. It'll go right by most people. But it bothered me. It worried me, I guess I should say. Joe Biden, his people, they screwed up somehow. We're not going to get into the details of it. But Joe Biden, his name did not appear on the ballot in New Hampshire. Now, let me pause for a moment. You are an extremely informed voter. You're watching I'm Right. You're in the 99.99 percentile of informed people in the country. If your favorite candidate, let's say the general election comes along and you're going to vote for Donald Trump, if he somehow wasn't on the ballot in your state, it would not be a problem for you. You'd go in and you'd write Donald Trump's name on the ballot and it'd be fine. But remember, always remember, you're different, unique. Most voters are not like that. Most voters go into the voting booth and they look, doesn't even matter what the election is for, president, whatever, and they just want to beep, 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 press a couple buttons on the screen and call it a day. If you have to write somebody's name in, that's normally an uphill battle to gather all the people in to write someone's name in. Because again, most people are not like you. Joe Biden, there was a Democrat primary last night. We know Trump won the Republican. Well, no big surprise there. We'll get to that in a second. But Joe Biden won the New Hampshire primary last night with his name not on the ballot. And he won it pretty comfortably. Here's why it worried me. We talk about big things right now. Illegal immigration, Trump, or whatever the case may be. But remember, elections, winning elections, it's about blocking and tackling. It's not about, no one likes Biden. Stop. That's not how pros win elections. Pros organize, get out the vote. Pros organize a write-in campaign that's successful. I am very concerned we are still amateurs playing against professionals going into 2024, and I'm concerned about what that might mean. Well, actually, I asked Sean Spicer about that here in a couple minutes. Anyway, the Republican primary was in New Hampshire last night, too. Unsurprisingly, Trump curb stomped Nikki Haley. Here they were.
New Hampshire is first in the nation. It is not the last in the nation. This race is far from over. There are dozens of states left to go.
But I felt I should do this because I find in life you can't let people get away with okay? You can't. You just can't do that. And when I watched her in the fancy dress that probably wasn't so fancy come up, I said, what's she doing? We won. And she did the same thing last week. But he was much more angry about it than I was. I said, get up there and you let him know. We are going to win this. We have no choice. If we don't win, I think our country is finished.
Joining me now, Sean Spicer, of course, of the Sean Spicer Show, which I know you're enjoying, 7 p.m. Eastern every weeknight right here on the First. Okay, Sean, people are confused. Nikki Haley doesn't sound like a woman who's getting ready to drop out of the race. Anybody with any amount of political acumen looks and knows it's over, it's been over, yet she's staying. She's not a moron, although I don't think so. Why is she still here?
You're asking the right question. I don't know that I'm the right person to answer it, but you're asking the right question. I think partly when one of the things I've been doing these races now for 30 years, the thing that people have to understand is that you have a bunch of consultants who are around you that only make money when you stay in the race. And there's an element of, as soon as you drop out, the cash cow goes away. And I think that there's an element of them who are urging her to go on. But the president was right last night. I mean, I've never seen anyone get spanked so hard and act like they won. She's gotten killed twice in a row. She's down 30 points in her home state, where the two senators, the governor, and everybody to dog catcher has endorsed Donald Trump. But more importantly, Jesse, there's no path. I mean, I know it's an overused phrase in the past 48 hours, but even if she could go to South Carolina, where she's getting killed 30 days from now, by the way, right? She then would have to go on 7 days later to Super Tuesday, where 15 states, one territory, and 874 delegates are at stake. There's nobody, including herself, that could honestly look themselves in the mirror and say that she has any apparatus to compete in those 15 states in one territory. So the idea of making it to South Carolina is literally like looking at a bunch of dudes on a road trip and saying, we got 2 gallons of gas, you know, 600 miles to go, and $4 in our pockets. You think we can make it? It's I don't get it, but you know, there's some dude in the backseat that's like, well, let's try.
Sean, there's no chance that they can remove Trump as the nominee. And this is the reason I ask. I really genuinely want to know, because I know the party rules get a little wonky. Okay, everyone knows Trump has all these trials. He is going to be convicted in some of these. When? But he is going to be convicted. There's no chance the RNC comes up and says, hey, Trump's not the nominee anymore. Nikki's still around. We're going to choose her. There's no chance of that, right?
Nope. We went through this little ridiculous game in 2016. If you remember, there were some people that wanted to unbind the delegates at the convention. I actually wrote about this in my first book, The Briefing. There was actually an effort that some folks, Ken Cuccinelli and others, led on the floor. It didn't happen then. It won't happen again. The rules don't permit it. No is the answer. It cannot and it will not happen. Full stop. Once he wins the delegates, they're his.
Sean, I hate to compliment Democrats because I despise them, even a little bit more than I despise Republicans. And Democrats pulled off something that I was impressed by last night. Joe Biden won that New Hampshire primary. His name wasn't even on the ballot just because he's an idiot and his people are idiots. But a write-in campaign is not an easy thing to win. That takes serious organization. I'll be honest with you, Sean. Made me a little bit nervous when it comes to the general election in November. They have a campaign apparatus organized and squared away enough to win a write-in campaign.
Listen, I think you're onto something on this. I think they played a little game, though, with the media where they were like, oh, my God, we're not on the ballot because their delegates were taken away. There was a super PAC that spent a ton of cash to get people out to do the write-in. And I showed people the sample ballot on my podcast. So if you want to go back to YouTube or Rumble, you can actually see it. There were 21 candidates on that sample ballot. And at the very bottom that said write-in, you had to fill in the bubble and write Joe Biden. You know what? I'll go one step further. At like 8:02 last night, the media, the AP and CNN all called the race for Biden. He was running against Dean Phillips, who was actually on the ballot. No one had seen a single write-in yet, not one. And they immediately called it for him when Dean Phillips' name was on there. This goes to your point. This was like, it was like the cake was already baked. He could have lost last night because a write-in campaign, to your point, is very, very labor intensive and difficult. And yet the media at 8:01 declared him the winner without seeing a single write-in ballot. The cake was baked before this thing ever happened. But I will take what you're saying, and I think the point that you're getting at is even bigger, that I think you're alluding to, which is I'd be worried about November. If they can pull this kind of stuff off in New Hampshire, what are they going to do? And by the way, one thing that I will bring up, and this goes further to your point, America First Legal, the group that's headed by Stephen Miller, on their Twitter / X account, whatever we're calling it today, they show the documents. They sued CISA. It's the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, that group that that guy Chris Krebs led. Remember at the end of the last election, and he came out and said this is the most secure election ever, even though he had no jurisdiction over any of it. But the media wanted somebody to say something. Well, Stephen Miller and his group, America First Legal, sued CISA. And they show on their feed the documents that they got from this lawsuit. The documents make it clear that the U.S. government knew that mail-in votes had a higher degree of fraudulent concern to them, and that there was zero health concern with voting in person. And yet they further found that there was a level of anyone who criticized it, they would be labeled a disinformation spreader. This goes further to your point, Jesse, that these folks are setting us up right now before our eyes, and we better be ready.
Sean, there are two things that matter in politics and real estate, or one thing I should say that matters a lot, and that's location, location, location. You can tell a lot by where people are, where they're doing events. Here was Joe Biden last night in Virginia.
Hello, Virginia. And the real governor, Terry McAuliffe.
Sean, okay, setting aside the stupid comments, Joe Biden is an old, dementia-riddled old man who needs a drug cocktail to get through a 15-minute speech. Dragging him down to Virginia for a speech is an ordeal, yet he's there. Do Democrats think Virginia's in play for Republicans in 24?
I don't think so. I think what it comes down to is they need to go somewhere close, that it's not going to make the day too long for him. You notice all of these trips that he takes are to Delaware, Philadelphia. This was a big deal to get him to go over the moat, the Potomac here. I'm here. I mean, this literally, you never see him campaigning. First of all, and then where was Kamala Harris yesterday? In South Carolina. I'm sorry. That's a battleground state now. I mean, there's something very quixotic about what they're doing. And I know that they announced this campaign shakeup this morning. But it's so that the press can say that he's on the campaign trail when he went like 15 minutes over the border into Virginia from D.C. But I honestly, to your point, I live here. I'm sitting here right now in Virginia. I was the last elector elected in Virginia to cast a ballot for president. And I would love for that not to be the case again. I want someone to do it this time. But there's something weird. They want to basically give the media enough so that the media can continue to cover for them by saying he was on the campaign trail today. And to your point, that was what I thought. I'm like, in Virginia? In South Carolina? Like, what are they doing? They literally, the only places he can go are Delaware, Philadelphia, where he can tell his story about being Scranton Joe every time and make up, you know, where he had his degrees and what he, you know, how many times he was a professor or whatever, or drove a truck. And then this was a big deal, I think, to pull them over the border into Virginia. They were like, we can't keep going to Pennsylvania.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. Sean, thank you, my brother. Make sure you subscribe to Sean's podcasts, everyone, in Spotify, Apple, wherever you get podcasts, go download it. You want that kind of analysis every day, go get it. Sean, I appreciate you very much. All right. We have a ton to get to. Let's talk about the VP a little bit. I was talking to my wife last night, and I said, you know what? I forget sometimes that Joe Biden's so old, and Dome is right there. There's a decent chance we're going to have President Dome? Let's talk to someone who knows her pretty well. Next, before we get to that, let's do this. You're not stuck in the timeshare you think you're stuck in. I know you want out of your timeshare. Everyone does now. The annual fees have doubled, the special assessments. You can't even book to get in the daggone things anymore. It sucks. And you try to get out. Right? You send them an email. Hey, well, we no longer are interested in what they tell you. Oh, sorry, you're stuck here for life, sorry. You're not stuck. You are one phone call away from being free. Call Lone Star Transfer. They will legally and permanently get you out. They are successful pretty much every time, 99% of the time. This is a family business. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, 844-310-2646. Unstuck yourself, all right? We'll be back.
What is your reaction to this thought that with your background in particular, with your career, that there is some thought that you are incapable?
Well, I think that most women who have risen in their profession, who are leaders in their profession, have had similar experiences.
Yeah. Joining me now, Charlie Spearing, author of the book Amateur Hour, Kamala Harris in the White House. It still is amazing. Somebody this dumb, and she's there. She's one heartbeat away. And that heartbeat is a guy who's 9,000 years old and can't talk anymore. Charlie, okay, how did this woman even get her start in politics?
Yeah, Jesse, wow, way to go back to the very beginning, right? Everyone knows she got her start in California because she dated Willie Brown. And Willie Brown being the most important politician in California politics back when she was 29. And Willie Brown was twice her age. He was 60, and he was running for mayor of San Francisco. And he needed a stable relationship because he was estranged from his wife and kind of had the reputation of being a bit of a playboy and a bit of a womanizer. So Kamala Harris kind of offered him the ability to demonstrate that he could have a real relationship with a serious adult. And at the same time, he also opened doors for Kamala Harris. He gave her very plump positions on state boards that were very limited on the stuff that you would do, but they paid quite well, making her hundreds of thousands of dollars. Adjust that for inflation. She was almost making $1 million in today's money for some of the positions she took. And Willie Brown also gave her the keys to a BMW. So he certainly helped her get her start in politics. You know, I like to say, you know, everybody has a political mentor, but not all of them have date and have a relationship with that, have a romantic relationship with that political mentor. And certainly Willie Brown opened all the doors to the entire machine that ran San Francisco politics.
Okay, Charlie, walk us through this for those who aren't familiar. It's one thing to have a benefactor like Willie Brown open some doors for you, give you a start. California is a gigantic state, the most powerful state in the union, huge political machine there. This woman has been a United States senator, AG from that state. These are big boy positions. How did she go from getting a start to big boy positions when she's an idiot?
Well, the California machine works like this, right? You get the doors open, you get into the system, you make friendships with all of the most powerful elite, you make friends with all of the celebrities, you make friends with all of the power, the big movers and shakers, all the senior elements in the party. And another important skill is being able to show up as a Black person, to show up and demand, these liberal elites demand a seat at the table. Willie Brown was very good at that, and he taught Kamala how to do it as well. And so Kamala got used to the idea of showing up, demanding a seat at the table, and eventually, but as long as you had the backing of the social elite and the political elite, you could go anywhere. It's a single party town. You don't necessarily need to run a campaign and convince the voters. You need to convince the elite that you are the one who deserves that seat, and then it's all over from there, because it's a single party state. Once you've earned the respect of the Democrat elites, then they're willing to hand it to you.
Okay, now, she's with Joe Biden now. Everyone remembers, I shouldn't say everyone, most people remember the debates when Joe Biden and Dome were both running against each other, and she had some pretty vicious things to say about Joe Biden, essentially accused him of being a Klan member. Joe Biden's a dirty racist. You turn around, now Joe Biden picks her as VP. Have those old wounds healed? Sometimes those things tend to linger.
Yeah, certainly the family has not forgiven Kamala for what she did to Joe. How, you know, Jill Biden was famously reported for cussing out Kamala on a donor call. Look, Kamala wasn't on this call, but she said, you know, with what he has done for the movement and with what he knows, how dare she say this, using, you know, explicit language, of course. And so she writes in her memoirs, this is Jill Biden, she says, you know, I'm able to forgive, but I will never forget. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. I think the Biden family has tried to forgive her, but they're never going to forget. I don't think there's going to be a warm sisterhood between Jill and Kamala. We certainly didn't see it in the first 3 years, and I certainly don't see it happening anytime in the future.
She is one heartbeat away, as I said at the beginning, Charlie, and obviously this is an incapable human being. Is there any actual belief system inside of her? Because I'll tell you, I know the term's been tossed around a lot lately for different reasons, but she seems like such an empty vessel. She seems like just someone who believes in nothing and would say anything in an extreme way, even for politicians, would say anything in order to get ahead. What is her belief system?
Yeah, that's a very good point, Jesse. When she ran for president, I think she ran into a wall instantly with voters because she found it impossible to explain her positions, to even provide a serious idea or a vision for the country. You know, up until this point, she was running as a California politician, pretty easily done. All you have to do is push the right buttons, say the right things. But when she finally started meeting voters and trying to sell her vision to them, it became very apparent that she just wasn't ready to run for president. You know, so many senators have made the same mistake. You know, show up in the Senate, work for 2 or 3 years, follow the Obama model, run for president, and hope that you win. Wow, we've had so many senators run into that same brick wall. You're not the next Obama, I'm sorry. Even though the media really wanted Kamala Harris to be the next Obama, she fell flat on her face in her campaign, and as you know, she ended it before they even made it to the Iowa caucus, wasting tens and millions of dollars of donor money on that failed campaign.
Charlie, are people underestimating this woman's ambition? And I ask this question for this reason. Obviously, I think Joe Biden's going to be removed in some way. He'll, of course, volunteer, but that leaves the problem of his vice president. This is an ambitious woman who's clearly worked hard to get where she is. Does she step aside? Is that even something she would do?
No, I don't think Kamala would ever step aside. I think even if Barack Obama called up and asked her to step aside, I don't think she would. I think she's very much focused on holding her ground right now, knowing that if she follows her instructions and gets this ticket reelected, she could very well be the next president of the United States without even having to run another presidential campaign on her own. So I certainly see that she has that ambition, and she's willing to sort of take the lumps right now And yeah, Americans should definitely think about this. If Joe Biden is reelected, there's a very good chance Kamala Harris could be the next president of the United States if he steps aside. Now, look, Joe Biden sort of maybe he didn't want to run again, and maybe he would rather, you know, in a perfect world, Kamala Harris would have proved her worth, and then he could step aside and Kamala Harris could step up and beat Donald Trump. But wow, no one has the illusion that that'll ever happen. No one has the illusion she can ever win another presidential campaign. So right now, Democrats' best hope is that Joe makes it through Election Day, he wins re-election, and it's only a matter of time before he steps aside and gives the reins to Kamala.
Golly. Charlie, you are the man. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. All right. We haven't had a real dark black pill moment in a while. Let's have a frank talk. Maybe a little hard to hear, but something that's been nagging at me lately, and we'll talk about that in a moment. Before we talk about that, let's deal with this, and this is going to be part of the whole black pill moment thing. We're looking at the value of our money disappear before our eyes. You already know this. I don't have to tell you about inflation numbers. You know, you buy gas, groceries, everything. Look, everything in your life. You try to buy lumber, like everything. Everything's crazy. The crazier thing is neither political party is even pretending as if they intend to reverse that. Cut government spending. Reduce the size of the government. Eliminate the deficit. Start reducing the debt. You haven't heard a single candidate in any party anywhere discuss these things in a serious way. Where does that leave us? Oxford Gold. It leaves us with no other option. We must purchase precious metals to protect ourselves. And I don't just mean physical gold and silver coins. They will do that for you too. They'll mail it to your home. I mean in your retirement account. Part of everyone's retirement now should be gold and silver, because these people, all of them, Republicans, Democrats, all of them, just blowing everything up financially. Let Oxford handle this for you. They're wonderful. Call 833-995-GOLD. They'll take care of everything. They'll get it mailed to you. They'll get it in your retirement. They'll handle it all. 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I have something I want to do, and I want to try to do it quickly. And then I'm going to move past it. And here's why I'm going to do it quickly. It's not because I don't have a lot to say about it. I'm always mindful of not bringing you down. Obviously, we have to talk about difficult things. We do. I talk about it. You talk about it. But I don't like to leave anybody feeling like crap. I mean, we like to laugh, talk about other things here on I'm Right. But I can't get this nagging thing out of my mind. And it's been weighing on me really, really heavily lately. I'm not totally sure we can get the band back together again. And this is what I mean about the band. The United States of America. Here's my black pill moment. I don't think we can go back. I don't think we can have 50 states and the federal government. I don't think we can go back to what we were. And there are a lot of reasons for this. I personally, and I realize there are a lot of reasons, many people to blame, years, decades of communist infiltration. The truth is we probably couldn't afford to lose the Obama election. We say every election is the most important election ever and all this other stuff, but if you really look at when the left went from relatively normal Democrats to Chairman Mao, it was about 2008. Barack Obama got elected, filled up every position in the government with not Democrats, with committed communists who hate the country. And I'm just not sure we can fix it now. And this really, really hit me. I was watching this young lady in Wisconsin. This young lady, she is going to medical school with the intention of aborting babies, with the intention of aborting babies. Just listen to what she has to say.
I think abortion should be unrestrictive. And I think when somebody finds out in pregnancy, when or how far along that they are, when someone finds out, they should be able to get an abortion if they want to. And for some people, that is full term. If I can't get abortion training here, if I can't perform abortions in my career, I will not stay in Wisconsin. And a lot of my colleagues who are on the same track agree.
I don't want to get back together again. And maybe that makes you mad, but why would I want to share a nation with that demon? And don't think that that's some one-off video clip. Her position on that, that's the stated position of the National Democrat Party, every Democrat in the House, Senate, Joe Biden, that is their position. The liberal white woman you know in your life, your liberal Aunt Peggy, that's her stated position. If you had a neighbor who lived across the street, and the neighbor who lived across the street liked to kill children, would you want to stay in the same neighborhood with that person? You wouldn't, would you? One of you has to go. I think we need a divorce, and I think it's our only path forward is divorce. I know that's hard to hear, and we have to keep fighting to make sure that once that divorce comes, we get a pretty good divorce settlement out of the whole deal. Nationally? Pick your election, 2024. No, we'll elect Trump and we'll fix everything. One man, no matter who he is, can't fix a people that broken. They can't. I don't think we can live with each other anymore. And I know that was probably a lot to hear, so I'm just going to move on from all this. But there, that's my black pill. Forget about that. We're going to move on. We're going to talk about other things, all right? Hang on.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment, on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why are you guys making it easier for people to enter the country illegally?
I believe we are. Why do you think we are?
Well, you guys sued to cut razor wire that was put in place by Texas officials.
So that the Border Patrol could actually do their jobs, but keep going.
Well, you won in court, so now what? The Border Patrol Union president is saying the Supreme Court's decision is going to undoubtedly encourage more illegal immigration. Do you guys know better than the Border Patrol Union?
The Border Patrol needed access, and that's why we sued to get rid of that razor wire, so that they could do their jobs.
Yeah. How does a nation deal with its ruling elite intentionally flooding it with illegals? Can you even save a nation like that? Joining me now, founder of the League of American Workers, Steve Cortez. Okay, Steve, it's not, look, we don't have to sit and argue about this. Everyone knows, everyone can see what's happening. They intentionally opened up the border to flood the country with illegals. Again, I'll ask, how do you save a country when it's even possible for one party to get elected and intentionally open the border? How do we save it?
Well, it won't be easy, and you're exactly correct. It's possible that we're beyond the point of return, that, you know, that things are not actually fixable. Now, I'd like to think that they are, and we sure as hell have to try, right? Because we don't have, there's no safety valve. There's no other America. There's no other place for us to go. So we have to do everything we can to save this nation. And when we have an administration in Washington, D.C., who, you know, to use your word, intentionally, that's so important. They have intentionally vaporized the United States border. They are directly attacking the very idea, the principle of sovereignty of the United States. It should add all the urgency necessary to every patriot out there to do whatever they can right now and into the election in November to make sure that this doesn't continue anymore. And I would also like to say this, Jesse, because I haven't seen or read this very many places, but your state of Texas has a great burden to deal with right now. And I really believe, and it's not fair, because immigration law should be administered and controlled by the federal government. Clearly, it's a federal issue. But when the federal government has decided to engage in this kind of systemic dereliction of duty, then I think it is incumbent upon a state like Texas to protect not just Texans, but all of America. And frankly, I think it's time for them to start defying the federal government and tell the federal courts, for example, regarding this case about razor wire, to go pound sand, to you know, take a page out of the book of Andrew Jackson, say, oh, that's an interesting ruling you have. We're going to enforce it in a way here where we protect Texans.
Where does that put us as a nation, Steve? Because it looks like right now Texas is defying that ruling. They were told that by the Supreme Court they had to tear down the razor wire. They're adding razor wire. I applaud them. However, this looks like a good old-fashioned conflict between the states and the federal government. Dare I say it again? How do we get this genie back in the lamp here?
Right. No, and listen, it's a very uncomfortable place to be, clearly, right, for the United States. And I do think that we're in such a politically polarized situation right now in the United States, where almost every issue in America on a national basis at least breaks down into a sort of 45 versus 45 split, and then we're arguing over, you know, trying to capture roughly that middle 10%. We're incredibly polarized, and probably more so than any time since the Civil War in the United States. So it's not surprising that we're ending up in these kind of standoffs, but that doesn't mean that it's in any way good for the United States. But again, I think the immediacy and the urgency of the moment, the gravity of the moment, means that places like Texas right now, they have to stand up and protect Texans, but also protect all of America. And, you know, we do know that Biden's policies have effectively turned all of America into border towns. And that, you know, that's the reality. New Hampshire voted last night. You can't get much further from the U.S.-Mexico border than the state of New Hampshire. And yet, even in New Hampshire, up there in the snowy, cold New England hinterlands, according to exit polling from Fox News, 41% of Republicans said their number one issue is immigration in a place, again, thousands of miles away from the U.S.-Mexico border. So they recognize it, the good patriots up there in New Hampshire, what's going on all over this country. And, you know, my particular lane is to try to defend the prerogatives of American workers. American workers have seen their real wages crash throughout the presidency of Joe Biden. And that's reality. That's not my opinion. That's the actual numbers. Real wages, meaning your pay adjusted for the cost of inflation, the cost of the goods and services you need to live your life. Americans are getting poorer every single month, standard of living going down under Joe Biden. Part of that is because of what's going on at the border. When you flood our country with new workers, with millions and millions of new workers who are competing in the labor market unjustly and illegally against American workers, you are depressing wages, which leads to that situation, which we show on the chart there. Those unfortunate red bars at the bottom of that graph that I provided, those red bars represent declining real wages since Joe Biden took office. So it's not just that it's bad for our economic security, excuse me, for our national security. It's not just bad that it's a problem for street safety. It's also clearly a threat to our economic prosperity, to the wages and the well-being of Americans economically in this country to have this open border.
Who are the workers blamed for this, Steve? See, this is the problem. I saw a poll yesterday showing the number one issue for Americans by a mile is illegal immigration. The number two issue is exactly what you were just talking about, wages and inflation. Joe Biden opened up the border and he's jacked inflation up through the roof. Pointing out a problem and knowing who to blame for a problem does not seem to be a forte of the American voter. Are they going to make the connection?
Well, I sure hope so. I believe so, though. More importantly, hope is not a strategy. I believe so, because things are getting so bad, you know, and again, with places that have not historically had migrant issues now having intense migrant issues, right, all across America, even very far away from the U.S.-Mexico border. I think that, you know, reality, that that awful cold water has been splashed in the face of so many Americans that they almost have no choice, Jesse, in my view, but to make that connection, that this has happened because of Joe Biden. Now, here's the thing. Was the border perfect under Donald Trump? No, it was not. And Donald Trump did not get the wall built, which to me was by far the biggest miss of his first administration. Now, I hope he gets a second term, and I hope he does build a wall in a second term. But the point is, directionally, the border was getting better and better and was basically under control. Not perfect, but basically under control. We have the exact opposite scenario right now, where it is truly chaos and it's invited chaos. You know, again, to your point of intentionality, this is really important. This isn't just incompetence from Washington, D.C. and from Biden and Mayorkas and the rest. They have done this willfully. There is a volitional move to institute an agenda of globalism that rejects the very idea of an American border and not just allows, but incentivizes and invites in millions upon millions of unwanted and unvetted migrants into this country. And this is, it's a disaster for the United States. And to me, it's issue number one. I agree with the voters. It's issue number one. It's sort of indictment number one, if you will, against Joe Biden of why he cannot continue to serve as commander in chief of this country.
Steve, you have a great piece in American Greatness about DEI and what an absolute scam this is. Talk about it.
Sure. So we've done new polling. The League of American Workers has done new polling in the state of Georgia. And we ask people, and we do this polling in a very objective way, Jesse. So we don't try to sort of cook the books and, you know, shade the numbers, if you will. We just ask very straight up, should companies use race or sexual identity as a preference for hiring and promotions? Only 20% of Georgians in that key swing state, only 20% said that companies should. 72% said that they should not. So we have a huge supermajority of Americans, of swing state voters in Georgia who say, listen, these companies should not be instituting DEI policies. And by the way, within that DEI, in my article, I focus most on the middle initial, on the E, because there's a sleight of hand that's gone on here with the left, and it can't go unchallenged from us. Equality is a noble goal for the United States, meaning that we want to give everybody equal opportunity. But the E of DEI is not equality, it is equity. And equity is very different from equality. Equity is mandating the same outcomes, not the same opportunity, but the same outcomes. And that is totally un-American. As a matter of fact, it is quite literally Marxist to focus on equity. And unfortunately, many, many big companies, and I profile three of them that are Atlanta-based, because my polling was from Georgia, and I profile them in there, Coca-Cola, Home Depot, and Delta Airlines, all of which have instituted some really terrible DEI policies. And this needs to stop. Big business has become the enemy of American workers in many ways, and particularly as it relates to DEI. Now, thankfully, the people are on our side. The people are awakening. I think Americans are starting to realize that equality is not the same thing as equity at all. But we have to continue this pushback. And so I encourage everybody to please read my article, consider it. And believe me, if you don't think that DEI has infected your area or perhaps even your employer, if you work for big business, think again and do some digging, because most of big business in America has succumbed to this Marxist agenda.
How do we stop it, Steve? It's so, as you mentioned, it's so pervasive. It just seems right to be ingrained in our culture now. How do we stop it?
Yeah, well, we've got to punish these companies. And I think, for example, Ron DeSantis showed the way there. It's one of the reasons that I believe he's the best governor in all of America. And by the way, Florida is very lucky to get their governor back full time now that he's done with the presidential race. But look at what Ron DeSantis did to Disney. It said, listen, Disney, as the biggest and most important company in the state of Florida, had some really nice advantages, some nice perks given to it by the state of Florida. He said, if you're going to insert yourself in the political process, and in that case, Disney was insisting that young children in Florida public schools be taught highly sexualized indoctrination, which thankfully DeSantis and the legislature outlawed, said, if you're going to insert yourself, we're going to punish you. We're going to take away some of these advantages that you've been given over the years. So there's an enormous amount of corporate welfare out there, and a lot of it, frankly, passed by Republicans and instituted by people who are supposedly conservatives. So one way to punish these companies and to insist that they stop using DEI scams against people, especially in regards to promotion and hiring, is to punish these companies by removing any special treatments or allocations that they've been given over the years.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted, but we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Steve, thank you, my brother. I appreciate you very much. Now, you want to deep dive on some of this DEI stuff? We're doing a special. It's tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern time, right here on the 1st. We are doing a special, DEI in America. How deep is it? How do we combat it? All right? All right. Now, let's do a little light in the mood. Next. You're a good person, so you may not agree with my light in the mood here. I am a bad person. And when someone tells me I'm their enemy, I don't think that they're being naive. I don't give them the benefit of the doubt. I believe them when they tell me I'm their enemy, and I will treat them as an enemy. For instance, yesterday, LA Times, one of the biggest newspapers in the United States of America, vile communist rag. 115 journalists got fired. 115 communists got fired from the LA Times. I'm not bummed about it. I'm not wishing those people the best. I do hope they change their ways, but unemployed communists, a very good thing. Why? Well, Jesse, why? What'd they ever do to you? Well, many things. Here's a headline from the LA Times, maybe you remember. Mocking anti-vaxxers' COVID deaths is ghoulish, yes, but it may be necessary. Do you really think I'm going to sit here and cry? Is that person's now out of a job? You laughed when freedom-loving people died. Now you're unemployed, and I think it's hilarious. The same thing happened at Sports Illustrated. Sports Illustrated's going under. I grew up reading Sports Illustrated every single week. Every week, we didn't have a subscription. We couldn't afford it, but I would find one, doctor's office, anywhere, Sports Illustrated. What has Sports Illustrated become now? Sports Illustrated puts out swimsuit issues with trannies on the cover of it. Trannies on the cover of it. It's hilarious to me they're out of work now. And the one sport I've actually talked to my wife about recently, because I've kind of given up professional sports, one sport that I do enjoy, I don't obsess over it, but I do enjoy, is UFC. And I talked to her and I said, you know, I think I want to start getting into UFC. And she said, I agree. Why? It's not just the fights. It's this stuff.
You obviously give a long leash to your fighters about, you know, what they can say when they are up there with a UFC microphone and you are getting into territory of homophobia, transphobia. Like, is there...
I don't give anybody a leash.
Well, I'm saying you...
A leash?
Like,
free speech. Control what people say? Gonna tell people what to believe? Gonna tell people... I don't f***ing tell any other human being what to say, what to think, and there's no leashes on any of them. What is your question?
I was asking that question. I'll move on, though.
Yeah, probably a good idea.
I think I'm going to start getting into UFC. That's how it's done right there. All right. I'll see you tomorrow.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.